genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is planning. Each of my guests will discuss an aspect of planning, whether it's successfully finding an alternative plan, life and career planning, or overcoming adversity when a plan goes wrong. My first guest is an authority on innovation. He wondered how large-scale projects like the Apollo Moon mission and top-notch companies like Facebook and Walmart adapted their plans to be successful. We'll discuss his book, Plan B, to find out what he learned. My second guest is a successful entrepreneur and currently is the publisher of Success Magazine. We'll discuss how to jumpstart our income, our lives, and our success from his book, The Compound Effect. My third guest is a former Major League Baseball player with the world champion New York Mets in 1986. We'll discuss how he overcame adversity and went from the penthouse to the doghouse and back from his book, Conquering Life's Curves. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. My first guest, David Cord Murray, began his career as an aerospace engineer. He worked on the space shuttle, the MX missile, and the conceptual development of the International Space Station. Over the years, he's been a scientist, a chief marketing officer, an entrepreneur, a CEO, a product development specialist, a software programmer, and a line manager for both small and large organizations alike. He was the head of innovation at a software company called Intuit. Today, Dave's an author and a business consultant. His first book was titled Borrowing Brilliance, The Six Steps to Business Innovation by Building an Ideas Off of Others, and it was a Wall Street Journal bestseller. He was named by Inc. magazine as one of the best business books of 2009. He's followed that up with his latest book titled Plan B, How to Hatch a Second Plan That is Always Better Than the First. Joining us from the Lake Tahoe area, hi Dave, how are you today?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Well, I am terrific. Thank you for being our guest on the show today, and thank you for being a thought leader in the area of innovation. I loved your book. So what I like is that you started out your book with a very interesting story of how you were visiting Accel Partnerships, which is a billion-dollar venture capital firm based in Palo Alto, California, where you met a hooded sweatshirt kid who had kind of a business idea. Talk to us about that story, because I just love it. And how does the company that this kid was pitching really embody the concepts of what you discuss in Plan B?
Yeah, it's funny. I had a software company. It was a tax software company, and I had a business partner. And we had kind of funded it our own, and we had gone through our first tax season and got about 120,000 customers. And so we were kind of making the rounds in Silicon Valley to get some venture capital money into it and kind of blow the whole thing out. And like you said, we were at Accel Partners there to pitch them. And while we were there, there was this kid sitting there, and I thought he was like a bike messenger, you know. and you know, the partners came out to meet us, and they're like, hey, you know, we've got to first do some business here. And you know, they took this kid back. And I had asked the kid before they even walk out, like, what are you here or what are you doing? Because, again, I thought he was a bike messenger, you know. And he's like, I asked him if he had a business. And the kid was like, well, not really, you know. Anyways, it turns out it's Mark Zuckerberg. And I happened to be there on the day that Accel Partners made the first outside venture capital investment into his company. And, you know, so it was kind of interesting to be there right on the kind of the cutting edge. This was before Facebook had even really gone out and taken. At the time, it was just a college social network. They hadn't even opened it up to the whole universe. So I didn't even know what Facebook was.
Wow, that's an incredible story. But more interestingly, though, Facebook recurs in your book later on. Talk about some of the principles that you talk about in your book, Plan B. So how does Facebook embody some of the concepts that you write about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because Facebook had a very clear strategy and then was constantly developing new tactics to implement that strategy. And the success of Facebook over MySpace really had to do with the problem that Mark Zuckerberg defined at the very beginning of setting up his company, because it was a different problem than MySpace had defined.
Without a doubt. All right, so let's do a little compare and contrast about two wildly successful companies, completely different industries, Walmart and Apple. Both of them achieved greatness using two diametrically opposite approaches. So what were the two opposite approaches as you define the problem in your book?
Well, Walmart, and again, it comes down to what customer problem are you going to solve, okay? And Walmart, you know, from the very beginning, was solving a low price problem, and all of the tactics that they've been developing have been to solve that problem for the customer, and they've been pretty successful at that. If you look at Apple has switched things up. You know, I mean, they were a computer company, then they evolved into a music company. I mean, today Apple is the largest distributor of music. You know, so they changed the problems that they were solving. And that was the brilliance of Steve Jobs. And he did it by understanding what his tactics were, you know, and taking those tactics and applying them to a new problem. And I think that's a really important learning that I had when I looked at companies that were successfully able to evolve.
All right, well, let's talk about two more companies, because your book is rife with examples. But yeah. another set of companies that both faced the same problem when the U.S. government came in and nationalized their business.
Yeah.
How does Wells Fargo and American Express, how did they use sort of the Apple model for constant tactics with changing strategies to remain viable when the U.S. government came in and nationalized the mail delivery system?
Yeah, most people don't realize that Wells Fargo and American Express were the same company, same founder, same management team. You know, even I bank at Wells Fargo, and every time I go in there and talk to the tellers, you know, you guys know that you're part of American Express at one point? Like, we were, really? But these companies were both established back in the 1800s by Mr. Wells, Henry Wells. And what happened was, over time, I'll give you the short story. The short story is that when World War One came out, and both these companies were managed separately for other reasons, but during World War One, and they were both packaging companies. They were both they were the UPS of their day, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah. And during World War One, the United States took over all of the mail routes and all of the railroad routes, and took them away from America, basically put American Express and Wells Fargo out of business. So what those two companies did, and Henry Wells was gone by this time, but what they did is they look at their tactics and said, we're going to have to make a completely new business model. What tactics did we have? Well, it ended up Wells Fargo had established a series of banks that they used because they were shipping gold from, you know, from California back to New York. And that was, so they had these series of banks. So they're like, let's go into banking. You know, American Express at the same time had established this credit product that people could use, and it was basically that people could use as they traveled, the traveler's check. And they flipped and turned into that business, and then they went their separate ways.
It's an amazing story. My guest is David Cord Murray. His book, Plan B, How to Hatch a Second Plan That's Always Better Than Your First. And Dave, most of us think about Plan B, and we think of a contingency plan. You state that that's not the case, however.
No, and I think that's the biggest takeaway from my book. The successful Plan Bs, the people that were able to evolve their business models and their strategies, didn't do it out of a contingency plan, but they evolved. One plan evolved from the other. And I think Apple is a really good, and the iPod is a really good example of that. You know, the Steve Jobs started a project where it was a software project where he wanted to connect up all these electronic devices to his computers. You know, there were MP3 players, digital phones, digital cameras, and all of these different devices that were just coming out. And as he was doing that, he looked at the MP3 players and said, these things are not very good devices. And he looked at what the tactics that Apple did well. What did they do well? They were really good at designing efficient electronics and then overlaying them with really cool user interfaces. And that was exactly the problem that MP3 players had. So Jobs was like, oh, let's take our tactics, the things we do well, and apply them to a completely different problem.
And that is a great example of it, Dave. So you really are talking about not necessarily a contingency plan, but more of an evolutionary plan.
That's right.
When you talk about Plan B.
Yeah.
All right.
I like to think about it, and the term that I use in the book is adaptive management.
All right. So what is adaptive management?
Well, adaptive management is just that. It's creating a very detailed plan, but then giving the people that implement the plan the ability to make adjustments to the plan.
Well, I find it interesting. You've got 11 core principles that go along with adaptive management, but I think number 6 in them is what you call the principle of paper plans, that paper plans are absolutely useless.
That's right.
But the process is what's invaluable. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I part of what I did is I studied the military as well, and I went to the Pentagon, and I spent time at the Army Command Staff College at Fort Leavenworth. And I was fascinated by Dwight Eisenhower, who's perhaps the greatest strategic planner in the history of business or military. You know, his D-Day plan was absolutely brilliant. And after the success of D-Day, somebody asked him about planning, and this is what he said. He said, "In preparing for battle, I have always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable." And that's the point. The paper plan is useless. It doesn't matter. It's the act of planning and putting your thoughts down and defining your strategy and defining your tactics and let everybody participate in it and know what's going on so that then they can make the adjustments to the plan because they understand the overall arching objective and problems that we're trying to solve.
All right. My guest is David Cord Murray, author of the book Plan B. And tantamount to everything that you write about is that adaptive management starts with the principle of problems. So talk to me about how important it is to define the problem and accurately define what's the right problem.
Yeah. You know, let's go back to Facebook versus MySpace. You know, Facebook defined their problem as solving a communication problem between existing relationships. MySpace, on the other hand, defined the problem they wanted to solve as how do we provide a platform for people to meet each other. So one was a networking problem, and the other one was a communications problem. And the communication, you know, so Zuckerberg did not even look at MySpace as a competitor. He looked at email instant messaging as his competitors. And it was that brilliant definition that allowed him to really destroy MySpace. And he did it because as a secondary effect of the MySpace and the platform he set up, it's a great way to meet people. You meet people through your existing relationships.
And that was the stroke of genius behind that. My guest is David Cord Murray. Dave, you talk about there are 11 principles, core principles of adaptive management. There are too many that we can go into
right.
in detail, of course. But one of them that I found was interesting is your principle of multiple futures. Now, it seems to me that contingency planning is all about multiple futures. Plan B is all about multiple futures. Talk to me about the importance of envisioning multiple futures when you are doing planning.
Yeah, this was an observation that I made because I've worked on a number of, and it's probably more applicable to Fortune 500 companies, but I was kind of shocked as I worked through the strategic planning with some of these large, you know, actually Fortune 100 companies, that they, and the CEO in particular, and their head of strategy, would define a single future, and then they would build the whole plan around that single future. And guess what? It never really happens the way you happen. You know, there are some organizations that have done this multiple scenario kind of thing, and putting a plan together that can then adjust to the multiple scenarios, but very few people do it. They choose one future and go for it, and that's a very dangerous thing to do.
It is, because none of us are very good at predicting the future.
Right.
If we were, we'd be in another line of business.
My guess
is David Cord Murray, author of the book Plan B, How to Hatch a Second Plan That's Always Better Than Your First. Dave, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Plan B?
Well, I think it's about being fluid and having the courage to make adjustments to your plan. You know, we think there's this kind of underlying maybe thought that, you know, we have to stick to the plan, and if we stick to it, eventually we're going to win. Well, that's not really the way that it happens, and that's not the successes that I studied. It was those people that put themselves in a certain situation and then were able to adjust their plan. That was the key to success.
So would you say that it is the difference between classical music, which is highly structured, versus jazz, which is almost improvisational?
Yeah. I like that. That's a good thing.
And I won't even charge you a royalty for using it. My guest has been David Cord Murray, author of the book Plan B, How to Hatch a Second Plan That's Always Better Than Your First. Dave, if people are interested by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
You know, they can Google David Cord Murray, and there's a bunch of things that you can find there. I do have a website, davidcordmurray.com, and Cord is K-O-R-D, and Murray is with an A-Y.
With an A-Y.
But you can just Google it. You'll find it.
All right. That is wonderful. My guest has been David Cord Murray. Dave, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, great.
Great.